you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Whoa.
Hey, everybody. Slow down.
It's because I learned it was my edit, so I wasn't going to fuck it up anymore.
Okay, yeah.
Let's get this one in a tight 22 minutes.
Well, I mean, honestly, we'll get into it. So, man. Welcome back to episode... welcome back to Faking Movies. This is episode 275. 270 half.
Okay.
God, it's like French counting again.
Uh-huh. I know.
Quatre vingt.
this is my favorite.
I mean,
number.
90 in Russian is 100 minus 10, so
that's stupid.
Yeah.
All other languages are dumb.
Hey, I'm a linguist. I know.
True.
It's obvious.
I'm here with Seth and Zach. The reason I said Zach, you made that joke about being a 22-minute episode. The reason I said we'll see is not because necessarily the movie we're covering. It's because it's been like 2 months since we recorded, and I don't think any of us remember how to.
Yeah, it has been a very long time. Yeah,
yeah,
there was a lot going on.
There was. I got the Rona finally.
Yeah,
that's
I
true.
Got something that wasn't, and I still have it 3.5 weeks later.
Jesus.
Well. I was with Seth when he got the Rona.
Yeah, you were actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then and now currently my partner of the show, my partner, is ill with a cold that's not the Rona, thankfully.
Yeah.
And in neither of these cases did I become sick at all. And it's left me to wonder, fellas.
Are you immortal? Are you the Highlander?
I'm not Seth, think I am God. But maybe I am a god, or, and this is literally what I was going to say next, perhaps a Highlander of some sort?
Yeah, or a mad god. Could be a mad god. That'd be gross.
Phil Tippett just all up in my joints, manipulating me one frame at a time. Yeah
but I'm pretty sure you must be a Highlander at this point.
Yeah. If you talk about it long enough, whoever arbits these situations just goes, he's got it.
Michael Ironsides, I guess. He's like, because he's in Highlander 2.
Oh, you think he's doing the accounting for the Highlander universe too? Yeah. He might be. I don't know.
Yeah. Or whoever played Duncan MacLeod on the TV show, Adrian Paul. What's he doing these days?
Yeah.
Having twin sons who suck, maybe? I don't know. Is he the father of the Pauls? Probably not.
I highly doubt it.
Do we have to put him to death? That'd be a shame.
Is he related to the other Paul brothers, the ones who were the barbarian brothers in 90s B movies? Those Paul brothers?
I don't know.
How many famous Pauls are there?
Is that like That's Paul Bearer?
No, his name was William Moody.
Moody Blues, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Timothy Leary also dead. That's a Moody Blues song. Wow.
But so, Dennis Leary is unfortunately still alive.
And shares a birthday with me.
Oh, Seth, you're on a combo breaker of like 8 things now. Are we just going to free associate this entire episode?
Well, I was just thinking maybe I was wrong about it being a short episode because we're out of practice. Because Seth is bringing the heat immediately.
They usually go quite long when we
Oh, with
seen
Al Pacino.
Yeah. Just like Donnie Brasco. And then we can combo into Donnie Darko. And then we can go on a Jake Gyllenhaal run.
Sure.
And then Nightcrawler, and then we get into comic books, and then, wow.
That's true.
Ooh, boy, this is just going to get nuts. We'll talk about Dr. David Bruce Banner, because that's his actual name.
We could also circle back into movies again with Alan Cumming, who played Nightcrawler.
Oh, and then you can do your impression of Alan Cumming in in that movie, whose name
is... Eyes Wide Shut.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
My micro impression of Alan Cumming.
Mm-hmm. You should probably do it right now.
I think so.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
All right. Wow. That was not a lot of payoff for that whole thing we just did. All right.
It was all a goal to get Lee to do that impression.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seth and I practiced this with a bunch of contingency plans if we didn't lead him down
we had a spider web of different associations.
Let's just say this, fellas. You came here for the coming, and instead I'm edging. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'd buy that for $1. Just watched RoboCop the other night.
Earthy.
So good. Also, that Alan Cumming commercial. Very good.
It's true.
Yeah.
What happens now?
Marielle? I guess we thank Marielle. Yeah. That's true.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah. For her continued friendship and support.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, I guess that's it.
So I guess next week we're going to do...
Wow, that was a tight 16 minutes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No, because you cut that in half because we had to talk for a bit and then do the bummer. And then,
oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. All
right. Did you guys see the t-shirt I'm wearing right now?
No.
I saw a glimpse. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Good. Yeah. Oh, it's my Steven Tobolowsky sneakers t-shirt that
I
made.
You know, because you have a filter really on your Zoom.
I know.
It keeps, coming in and out of Tobolowsky's face. It was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a They Live alien or something? Is the filter telling us something about Stephen Tobolowsky fundamentally?
Oh, yeah, we must obey.
Yeah. He's not all human. Yeah.
And Zach's wearing his jersey, if I'm not mistaken.
I am. I'm supporting my favorite football team on this day, the Superb Owl Day, which is the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Yeah.
But specifically, you're wearing a Team USA Ducks shirt.
Right. Sorry. Yes. This is a very specific Ducks niche. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a Ducks niche that you can buy a jersey of for a very relatively reasonable amount of money, as opposed to an officially licensed by the NHL jersey, which is...
The Ducks fandom has only slightly waned in the intervening 30 years somehow. It's still alive and well, as far as I can tell. Yeah.
Well, and then the Ducks of Anaheim changed their name from the Mighty Ducks to just the Ducks, and they were like really uninspired color scheme and uniform now.
Like that cartoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
They were aliens.
I assume it's because Disney sold them and maybe Disney retained the rights to Mighty Ducks or whatever. Anyway, they won their only Stanley Cup after changing their name, which is kind of a bummer.
That sucks. Yeah. It's not great.
All right, so next week, I guess we're going to.
Well, if we want to do this week's thing, Seth, you got.
I guess Seth is faking a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It took me because we kept almost recording, and I kept putting off writing this. So.
Oh,
like Lee,
really?
We've been edging this episode for.
Did
a while.
You?
Yeah.
Was it your turn to do a movie, and you kept putting off writing it until the day we were going to record, regardless of how long that time period is?
Yeah. Is it every third ep? Because
it's like, all this often. It's you've created a unit of measurement that is completely fluid, but is somehow also constant, if that makes sense.
Oh, like candle feet.
Mm-hmm. So the unit of the unit of measurement, which is a Seth Fart Noise Writes a Thing, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Is a different length at all times, but always begins the day of.
Well, you know, I almost started it three times. It was on field call, what I don't know, football term.
Audible.
Yeah.
Audible's the
We did we did an Audacity and an hour before we were supposed to record sometime last week, and I hadn't started it then either. So
there were actually
worked out great.
Oddly, this episode has been pushed so many. This recording has been pushed so many times, and every single time it was a health related issue.
Oh, you're right.
It was, yeah.
Like the first one was me when I got vertigo that one time.
Mm-hmm. You forgot that humans need food, like friend of the show Kev. Yeah,
yeah. That was on me. The thing is, I had eaten that day. It's just it turns out my was in a really severe calorie deficit.
I just looked up on WebMD, I just typed in, what's wrong with my shitty body? And it told me a litany of things.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's WebMD, so I assume cancer was one of the top hits.
Probably.
Yeah, typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My fingernail didn't cut evenly when I was trimming my fingernails. Let me type that into WebMD. Mm-hmm. Cancer. No, okay, oh, cool.
Full body yeah. cancer. Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
So yep. next week we're going to do...
I do like this. It's very good.
Keeps on giving.
It is yeah, I'm faking a thing this week. It's called House of Yes.
Yes! Oh, House boy. Of Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Yeah. And Zach tried to do a me where it was like a lot of parentheses explaining stuff and I don't know.
I think I was explaining people, no?
Yeah,
that,
you
that's
are.
Tend
you
to
are.
Be tends to be the lane that I use. Yeah,
yeah, you did.
So Zach was trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
Which is not even close to what you usually do. Don't get right. me wrong. I'm in full support of what yeah. you usually do.
Yeah.
But yeah. yeah.
Uh huh. Well, that's true. Anyway, House of Yes.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Get ready for that shit. Yeah. All right. So we have Parker Posey, the darlingest of the indies.
The queen of the mm-hmm. indies, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have Tori Spelling, who is the nepoest of the babies.
That's, yes, that's true.
Accurate. We have Freddie Prinze Jr., who is still married to Buffy.
And he's also technically a Nepo baby.
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, and Zach checked that, by the way.
It seems inconceivable that anyone from
Listen,
that era would still be
married. I could have told you that without fact-checking. I follow her on Instagram, you know? Well, like, it's... Right. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. they're having fun together.
Okay. That's great. Hey, good for
Love
them.
To see
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Next we have Genevieve Bujold, who Lee says is in a bunch of Star Trek. She's not really. She did the screen test for Janeway for the Voyager pilot.
And then just was, the screen test.
Well, wow. Not the screen test. They recorded a version of the pilot with Genevieve, and then she was replaced by Kate Mulgrew. So,
well, but you knew that sucks. Without looking it up, right?
That's true. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I've seen also, that version. Yeah. So
she's also in a movie we've covered on this show, Dead Ringers, the David.
Brandon Cronenberg?
The Cronenberg movie, yeah.
Oh, right. Brandon Cronenberg. Genevieve Bujold? I don't even know how I would pronounce that name. Is
hard to say. Genevieve? Yeah, let's not. Let's move on.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Uh-huh. Anyway, she's in at least one other faking movie.
Mm, yes.
Always good to see.
Yeah. And coming up last is Rachel Lee Cook, who is described as didn't show up to Lee's college, so he didn't vote that year.
Right.
I did vote that year, just to be clear.
Damn it.
But you
that
thought about
up,
not doing it.
That ends up being a point in my movie, so you just have to bear with me. I don't know why
did,
you didn't.
I did get mad because the guy from Sweet Home Alabama came to my college to register people to vote, and then we found out that she went to another local college to register people to vote, and I was just... beside myself.
To be fair, though, then Obama got elected, so it all worked out in the end. So.
What was that election? Oh, yeah, it all worked out in the end.
Well, for 8-ish years, it went okay.
Well, for still a war criminal and stuff. Anyway.
Can you be a U.S. president and not be a war criminal?
Honestly, no.
I mean,
harder and harder.
Yeah. Theoretically, yes. In practice...
Not
yeah,
often.
I mean, the assassination of foreign nationals is sort of a thing. Anyway, okay, so House of Yes. I have a couple of faileds, and I'm going to describe
when
them
did
first.
You come up with the failed ones?
About 9 this morning.
Also today? Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt.
9 this morning is quite early, all things
yeah,
relative.
it's because I knew that I had to run a bunch of errands before we recorded, and so I like had a half an hour or something to burn where I was racking my brain to come up with something and failed pretty bad.
Okay.
Right.
And then you'll see what happened when I finally wrote something, so we'll see. Okay, the first failed one was going to be, like, geez, I don't even know what this would be. It was when me fucking around with the language, so it was, ho, use Orpheus? And it was going to be, you know, about some prostitutes having a business, I guess, they use the office. I
don't know. Oh, so like, like that Henry Winkler, Shelley Long movie, Michael Keaton.
don't know. Night Shift. I think Night Shift.
Yeah, I like Night Shift.
How did you get those sounds out of chopping and screwing?
Ho, then use, house.
Yeah.
And then of yes. Off yes.
Oh, okay. I was looking for one single modality of chopping or screwing, and you chopped and screwed and other things.
It's more of like a whimsical reading. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I see. Yes. Okay. And then I was like, what about the band Yes? And then I realized I don't know any music by the band Yes, let's be honest.
Oh, sure. But yeah. I'll be your roundabout.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
That doesn't help. I think there's a 50-50 shot you made that up just
now. Yeah, it really sounds like it.
It's a Yes song.
We can never know.
We really can't.
What about Carnival 9? Is that Yes or is that Emerson Lake Palmer? That's Emerson Lake Palmer.
I don't know what the... you're just saying names now.
Seth giving his Chopped and Screwed title.
Yeah,
just like,
you're like, throw Jerry Brockheimer. Like, I don't know, man.
That made more sense than any of the shit.
Yeah, I know. I just couldn't come up with another name.
Is this a new game? It's like, is this a prog rock song or is this something I made up just now? Like,
yeah,
that is a fun game. More failed possibilities. More failed stuff. House of Yes. I was like, maybe a debauchery house. Like, you know, like it was just like, you know,
say yes to everything.
Yeah, sort of.
So like the Simpsons burlesque house.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I guess. I don't remember much about that other than the
Maison Derrière.
Oh right.
Oh.
The gin in your martini.
And I thought maybe to do like
the clams
sort of,
on your linguine.
All right. Let me keep going.
Well, you keep doing a Simpsons reference, so why not me?
True. All right. So another idea was that like it's like a sort of a gritty drama like Trainspotting, and it's about addiction and everybody's doing cocaine, and it seemed a little too close to the chest, that one. It's all about them trying to get sober or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. You didn't want to. It's heavy.
Like, yeah. That doesn't usually end well when that happens in movies. Yeah,
yeah, it was going to be quite heavy. Yeah. You know, lighthearted comedy about people who agree to live life to the fullest seemed really lame.
That's called Yes Man, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's that Jim Carrey movie, I think. Yeah.
Maybe the name is Yes, and there's some significance. It's about like transgenerational drama and wealth and opulence and stuff, like the Yes family estate and all that sort of thing,
like the Magnificent Ambersons.
Yeah, or like they got to Ellis Island and the border person was shitty and they're
changed
like, what's...
their name to Yes,
or no, they were like, what's your name, and he's like, ah, Yes, my name is got it, your name is Yes, and then it went on from
you
there.
Do hear stories of similar things.
I thought, I mean, that's what happened to a part of my family as well, but I'm not going to name names, obviously.
Because their name was Diarrhea Steen, and they shortened it,
Diarrhea
to Diarrhea.
Sound, actually, it was Diarrhea Sound.
And in the canon, your great-great-great-grandmother walked up to the guy at the desk and just ripped a heater of a fart, and she went, fart noise it is. thanks, Great Grab Gam. You're the
it
best.
It can't be pronounced in English, so here's the closest approximation.
Yeah. This is all we got.
Yeah, it's true. It's weird that it happened to you guys too. That you're saying.
I know.
It's identical name. Well, my family name was Fart Noise. Actually, it's just it's a coincidence.
It used to be
European fart noises.
Yeah. I was thinking it used to be pronounced a fart noise.
No, it was always just fart noise.
Weird.
I'm brother to you through marriage. That's a thing, right? You can be a brother through marriage. Is that a?
I don't know.
Whatever, man.
Anyway, like there was that one which was going to be about opulence and stuff, but I thought much about like Saltburn for some reason because I watched that.
Oh,
because
you just watched that recently. Yeah,
yeah.
It does always happen, you know. Yeah.
And then I thought maybe like an immigrant story with sort of the same opening, but it's, you know, about trying to, you know, be, you know, gangs of New York and 1950.
Would the opening credits be set to Immigrant Song?
Yes.
Mm.
And then
don't do it, we'll owe them money.
Yeah. And then the last failed one was sort of a dumb action sort of comedy hijink sort of thing that takes place in a toy factory called Yes. And that's the movie Toys. So
I was thinking that
we're so deep into this thing now. This is the most critical skill to have, is recognize when you've come up with a thing that already exists.
Yeah, but then, that is the problem.
The first is 10 ideas every single time.
There's no new ideas.
Yeah, and yet here we are.
Except for I don't even have a joke. I can't even think of a joke for a new idea. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's do my real one. It did end up being quite long for no fucking reason. I don't understand how this happens.
Hey, why not?
Okay. So Parker, Tori, Freddie, and Rachel are like junior reporters at a newspaper or some other now dead print medium.
this is just for reference. Mm. Those types of explanation are why it ends up being so long. You stack a bunch of those on top of each other.
Well, that's gonna happen. So
don't stop, certainly. But
yeah. I didn't tell you to stop. I'm just if you want me to diagnose, that's why.
I didn't want you to diagnose, because you know, seeing my own face in the mirror is something I never want to do. So
I see.
Anyway, Genevieve is their, you know, hardline boss that, you know, takes no guff and tells these essentially interns that there have been a bunch of disappearances in the vicinity of the old Headpin house at the end of Via Lencia Road.
All right.
You kids should go investigate, because all of my ace reporters are writing about more important things like finances and fluff pieces about a furniture store that's been open for 15 years, but like sells really shitty, expensive furniture and people still buy it for some reason.
Again, here's another example.
Of what?
I like it.
I'm just telling you.
It's called flavor text, Lee.
Yeah. This is our whole thing. This is the only thing we have.
The problem with the flavor text or writing fluff pieces about a furniture store. The problem is it's a fruit stripe gum flavor text, is that it hits you right away, and then it just keeps existing.
I was thinking,
but if you just keep popping them in.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
Rip fruit stripe gum.
I don't like gum, but anyway, I think the flavor is licorice, so
it's fine. Oh, well.
I like licorice. Anyway, after, you know, Genevieve talks about the furniture store for no reason, the reporters, these junior reporters, emphatically say yes, because they're like, they're going to do anything, right? Yeah. So our foursome make the long journey out of town to Violencia Road, start snooping around. The Headpin house is seemingly abandoned, and, you know, after searching the palatial grounds throughout the morning and early afternoon and finding nothing, they like find a broken window of the house or giant manor thing and sort of get in there. And then we have like typical jump scares and all that, but none of it really seems supernatural, like old mansion stuff. It's pretty creepy though. And we wander around for a while and everybody's getting skeezed out. Then they try to leave, only to find that the window they came through is fixed and they can't get it open. Oh man. Ooh. And they try with other windows as well and the doors, and you know, they're getting pretty panicky and desperate and stuff. And they start hearing sounds, like spooky sounds, like scraping and like dragging steps, sort of like step drag, that sort of stuff across the floor and the ceiling, and you know, like scraping, scratching at the walls, and fluttering sounds like wings and wind blowing, but you know, all the windows are closed and everything. So as they keep wandering around looking for any exits, some of the rooms are extremely cold, and that coldness seems to be sort of following them, all these creepy, you know, atmospheric ambiance things. And you know, this goes on for, like, probably too long. let's be honest.
Sure.
Just like that explanation. So, night falls, and then suddenly they see a silhouette down the hallway, and it speaks, "Welcome to our house! Oh shit, it's a low-level ass Dracula. Run!"
Wait, is Run the first reaction you have, or like, we could probably take this guy?
No, they said Run. Okay.
I wanna pause really quick here.
Yeah.
To have a discussion amongst the three of us. Now, when you say low level Dracula, do you just mean a shitty vampire, or like a shitty Dracula esque vampire specifically?
I mean, like, this one is in like 17th or 18th century garb and stuff. So
okay, so like Dracula style, cool.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
He's a but he's a low level, and by Dracula they mean just the general term for vampire, which is
well, that's what I was getting at. Is like, are we using Dracula as interchangeable with vampire, or Dracula as a vibe of vampire?
I mean, it's interchangeable with vampire, I suspect.
I presume Lee wants to cast low-level Dracula, and I nominate David Krumholtz, personally.
Ooh.
Wow. That's an interesting
one. Had not even crossed my mind to cast low-level Dracula, and I am so on board for that cast.
Where he shows up as Dracula, and you're like, oh, all right.
Anyway, oh shit, it's a low-level ass Dracula, Run. And so they sort of scatter around the house, and, you know, the vampire starts chasing them, and or the Dracula starts chasing them. And, you know, as I actually wrote out, you know, he's in, like, 17th, 18th century garb and all that sort of stuff. You know, classic Dracula. And then, you know, then we switch off and we follow each of the characters individually. And then we're going to do each of these four characters, and then there's going to be, like, sort of a synthesis after that. So, you know, Parker is hiding in a closet, and there's, like, a false back, and it pushes open where she encounters, like, a shambling corpse-like monstrosity. Like, it's real gross. Oozing wounds and seeping pus and, you know, extra limbs and shit. Then we cut over to Freddy, who, like, ran down to the basement, which is dank and dark and super humid. And he's, like, searching all around, trying to find some kind of egress, and panicked and all stuff. And there's lots of, like, little jump scares and things. Then a massive reptile-like creature emerges from a nearby pool. And then we smash cut to Tori, who, like, has sort of sealed herself in a room because she found a key. And backs in the corner, then there's, like, scratching at the door, which suddenly, you know, shatters, and a rabid, snarling, mangy-haired creature bursts through. It's pretty gross. And then Rachel is down in the kitchen, you know, looking for a servant's exit or something. And, you know, the room starts to get extremely cold, and you see, like, frost forming on all the surfaces. And then we have a bunch of quick cuts real fast. Maybe it can be a split screen. I don't know. Sure. Like a split screen where each of the windows is frozen, except for, like, then a person talks, then the next one unfreezes, that sort of thing.
It switches from one to the other.
Yeah. And so with Parker, she yells to the others, shit, there's a Frankenstein's here too. And she bolts from the room. And then we switch over to Freddy, and she says, oh, fuck no, I'm not going to deal with some Eddie Lizard-ass thing fucking down here. And then he kicks it in the head and knocking it back slightly and, like, scrambles towards the stairs.
Are these, like, legally distinct monster names? Is that what you're going for?
Something, like, is taking shape here, but I'm not certain what it is.
I was
yet.
For a little while, I thought maybe it's a Scooby-Doo, but I think that's just because Haunted House and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
Or, like, a 13 Ghosts at one point, I thought it was going for. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, then we cut over to Tori, and there's no way I'm going to be killed by Warren Zevon. And, you know, smacks...
A werewolf comes out.
Yeah. Smacks the head with a nearby rotary phone and makes it back into the hallway.
Ah, woo.
And then Rachel immediately starts running for the door, and she yells, no Marley fuck is going to possess me and tell me about my sins. Like that time I didn't go to some cool kid's college, so he didn't vote.
Wow. And Lee seeing this in theaters going, what the fuck?
No.
I made an impression.
Did she do it on purpose? Anyway. So, like, yeah, they all four of them manage to have escaped whatever creature, and they stumble into the main hall where, like, a giant, you know, one of those big block televisions from, like, the 50s or whatever. Yeah. It flips on, and it obviously, it turns out the Genevieve sort of sold them up the river, as it were. Every so often, the monsters need to torture and hurt humans for some reason, a la Cabin in the Woods
Cabin
style.
In the Woods, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so the town is in the pack. So periodically, she sort of gets a bunch of out-of-state interns and sends them to go snoop around. And after they say, you know... After they say yes, she somehow considers that consent to be murder because she's respectful of choice.
This is her strange.
It's her strange like
mental
morality.
Gymnastics.
Yeah,
that she's,
exactly. Yeah. Oh fuck this, says Parker Posey. And now the second half of the movie begins, which is a Screwball Scooby-Doo meets Home Alone style series of shenanigans.
You're kind of just describing Cabin in the Woods, which I am not upset about in any way.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But
that movie has a very distinct tonal shift.
Yeah,
it is awesome.
I remember liking Cabin in the Woods.
I still like it.
We rewatched it this year because I was kind of out of horror movies for my October thing, and it fucking slaps.
It's still pretty good, I think. Yeah, but it's mostly, you know, the heroes creating incredibly dumb traps and fucking up these monsters. Like, tricking the shambling corpse to, like, walk through a door that has a bucket of salt, like, sort of wedged on it.
So you're going Home Alone on it, okay.
Yeah, a lot of it. And, you know, like, it's some kind of demon, so it, like, sort of forms a circle around him, so he, like, can't move and is also covered in salt, and all of his wounds are open, so he's, like...
I like the idea of Home Alone haunted house. That's
spooky stuff.
A really fun idea.
Especially if they Wet Bandit style, like the one with the salt you're describing, he's just like, oh man, like it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I assume there's gonna be more like gnashing of teeth and wailing because he's also covered in the salt.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
doesn't
I know.
Sound pleasant for him.
Yeah,
but
they also like heat up a doorknob, right? Which is a classic Home Alone sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the ghost, which is cold by nature, sort of burns its hand like. It isn't, it was hot, and then the ghost makes everything cold, so, like, the ghost approaches the door, and then it's, like, room temperature.
Brings it to equilibrium.
And, you know, because the ghost is so used to touching cold stuff all the time, they burn their hand on the room temperature doorknob.
Because let me explain something to you. When you're expecting something to be cold, and it's room temperature, you feel like you're on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ghost Dracula... companion is like, dude, it's room temp. What the hell? It's a bunch of that sort of stuff.
I'm imagining a sequence where like shitty Dracula is like pointing and laughing at one of them, and then like somehow encounters garlic oil somewhere. You know, like
yeah, they're like down in the kitchen just sautéing garlic, and then flip it at him.
Oh, you got caught in the oldest trick in the book, the salt circle. And it's like, ooh, free blood. And it's like, this is garlic-infused olive oil. What? Like,
yeah. Eventually, it's all extremely goofy, right? But eventually the monster's all beaten and bruised, and, you know, the foursome, like, call down from, like, the hallway or whatever, where the monsters are all gathered, and they're like, hey, you gonna let us out yet? And they all yell yes in unison, and all the doors and windows fly open, and the crew escapes. Meanwhile, back at the newspaper office, the movie sort of ends with Genevieve getting nightmarish diarrhea. The end.
Okay.
Come up and
spooky
in any
diarrhea.
Shoehorned method you need. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. that's my movie. Which is just a menagerie of about five other movies.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I like the you're not here for the destination, you're here for the journey kind of movie, where it's like nothing really happened there, but like it sounded like a lot of fun for sure. Yeah,
yeah, it's supposed to be actually creepy at the beginning, and then like turns into goofy. Like, yeah, that's just
okay. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say my only note would be like first half shorter.
Yeah,
then,
probably. Mm. Yeah, but you know
like
what?
Maybe
I'm not going to do it. So,
as like, you know, the Genevieve sends him to the thing is one scene, and then the first third of the movie is the real creep 'em ups, and then it becomes all out goofy Home Alone.
Yeah, I do want to keep this a tight 90 ultimately. So maybe 30 minutes on creepy, and then
I think we could do a 10% overrun and it still works. So like 99 minutes, you know, we could dedicate 5 to the opening scene, and then we have a little more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we don't need much for that.
Yep.
Anyway, that was House of Yeah.
I like it. It was pretty good. Makes me, Lee mentioned 13 Ghosts, and now I gotta
watch that movie. It was 13 Ghosts in there, too. Yeah. And
Cabin in the Woods, I think, is the closest. 13 Ghosts, for sure. Scooby-Doo, Home Alone. Yeah, we covered at least four of the five.
Yeah,
four of the five stories that, as laid out by Joseph Campbell in the book.
Right.
The story with five mashups.
the famous archetypes of stories. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All cultures have these tales. Yeah, the Scooby-Doo, the 13 Ghosts.
I love this idea so much. Where that is 100% of the stories, fucking count me in. I'm joined.
Really, you don't think eventually you would kind of get tired of it?
Nah.
I haven't yet in all of my years.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, sorry if that's the way it goes.
Yeah, fine by me. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell me about the real one, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so the real one is a 1997 movie. The IMDb, which I will now read, leaves out a very critical detail that I also didn't know going into this, and Lee went, what? I thought you knew. No? Okay.
Yeah, oh, wait, are there 13 ghosts in this?
No, but once you find out...
Is there Tony Shalhoub?
No, but once I tell you what the critical detail is, you will see why I would have assumed Zach already knew. Yes.
Okay.
And why I started to feel bad that he was watching it.
This movie does hit a little close to home. hopefully not remotely close to home, but thematically, I guess, yeah.
Okay. The nightmarish spinning out of worst case scenarios close
yes,
to home.
Right. For yeah. sure, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot we can do to make this not happen, I think. Yeah. Okay, IMDb. A mentally unbalanced young woman who is convinced that she is Jackie Kennedy flies into a murderous rage when her brother returns home to reveal that he is engaged. Hmm. Things that left out. Brother is actually twin, and she's upset because she is in love and sexually attracted to and engaged with her twin brother.
Yeah, it's a twincest element going on. Yeah.
Yep. Also, the Jackie Kennedy thing sounded weird when I read this description and is almost like not at all important in the grand scheme of things.
I think it's the whole fucking movie. Are you fucking kidding me?
A lot of it's in there. And yeah, I mean, I guess there's like plot points that hinge on that. But like the twincest part is so much more important.
I'm sorry. You think that the Jackie Kennedy aspect of this movie is not important?
I mean, okay.
Did you watch the movie?
I did, but it was like
it's 2 months ago. 85 minutes long.
It is mercifully short. That is true. Yeah. It's been a while since I watched it.
This is very confusing.
Okay, do you want something longer?
Seth, it is very confusing. And yes, for sure, Lee.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I think I don't realize about this movie, and maybe it's just because it's so out of time anyway, it's set in the 80s, which is totally unclear. Like, it could be just set whenever.
Okay.
Something I'll also point out about this movie... You know when a movie is very obviously based on a play?
Yeah.
This movie is based on a play, like, and it's very obvious.
Like, the stage direction is all frustrating.
Well, because it's set in, like, two rooms.
Yeah.
So, like,
then the pacing is all fucked up. And...
Yeah, well, the tempo is kind of weird. And
dialogue heavy. And
Yeah,
and
the exposition is all very upfront. Yeah.
A lot of characters explaining things they already know to one another because you're not showing anything because it's not in the script.
Like I did when I explained about the furniture store, remember?
Exactly.
The furniture store that was about 15 years old with like sold really shitty furniture that's like rich people like for some reason, but is really unpleasant. That sort of thing, yeah?
Zach and Seth, I forget. Did we give Seth Josh Hamilton?
No.
We didn't,
no,
did we?
We
didn't. Josh Hamilton is the only other actor in this movie.
There's only six actors.
Yeah.
It's a tight cast for sure.
It's Josh Hamilton is a parlor.
Yeah, it sounds
piece,
like a bottle
you know?
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So Josh is the like son who left home to go to school.
Sure.
And he's coming back to they live in like their old money from Virginia. He comes back for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Genevieve is the mom, and Parker Posey is Josh's twin sister, and Freddie Prinz is their younger brother. Rachel Lee Cook is actually plays Parker Posey in flashbacks. She's the younger.
Yeah, 97. I thought Rachel had popped a lot by then, but she's not really in this movie. Yeah.
No, it's like this is right before she becomes big. Okay. Basically, the story is just about Tori Spelling, who is Josh's new girlfriend, meeting the family, and the family is all fucked up.
Sure.
That's the whole movie, essentially. Mm-hmm. And there's a power outage and all kinds of shit happens. And anyway...
Is it horror or no. like suspense
it's
or
comedy,
it's like
I would say.
Psychological thriller dramedy, I would say.
None of the thriller or drama parts are really that serious. Hmm. Like the premise is insane, right? So like I think it's mostly comedy. Yeah.
So we learn, you know, like Parker Posey has been in and out of institutions for years. Mm-hmm. She is obsessed with the Kennedy assassination. So she dresses, you know, in the pink Chanel with the pillbox hat. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the what we learn as the movie goes on is her and her brother used to have her twin had a their first sexual encounters were with each other for years, it would seem. Mm. And they would always act out the assassination, including using a gun as a prop.
Jesus. It really was set in Virginia, wasn't it?
So
there's a Winchester, Winchester, all this.
Texas? Yeah, oh. I was just going
the
with
NRA.
I just assumed you meant like gun. There's guns.
And the NRA headquarters is in Virginia, or it used to.
It is. You drive by it on the fucking beltway all the time.
You sure do.
I used to give it the finger all the time.
Yep. Yeah, me too. So. Not going into any of the like interactions all that deeply, like you know, we can tell that Genevieve is a really shitty, weird mom.
Sure,
obviously, and she's trying to drive away Tori.
Yeah.
And the brother Josh wants like a normal life, but he keeps getting sucked in. Mm. And Parker is like truly has some mental health issues, and she's like obsessed with her brother, and like doesn't, and Freddie wants. He's like given up on school to come take care of his mom and sister, and he's weird and stunted and everything. And at some point, he lies to Tori Spelling about being terminally ill and a virgin, and she sleeps with him. And then
they made a Pepe Silvia wall with the yarn on it, intending to cut it down, and then went, "No, leave it all in. It's all good." Mm.
Yeah.
And then, like, all this stuff, like, works better in a play. Like, you know? Sure. Yeah. Anyway, the climax of the movie is basically Tori walking in on the John Kennedy sex game.
A very heightened, very long for an 85-minute movie sex scene.
Are they still... They're still doing it? Like...
Well, he'd given it up, and then when he's back in the throes of the mental illness den, I think he just falls back into it.
Right, because he's like, I left because I want a regular life, and it's like, but really, does he actually? And like, he doesn't.
Yeah. He does not, yeah.
And does Tori run off before Parker kills him, or is it after? I can't remember.
It's been 2 months. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Anyway.
Doesn't really matter, probably.
She, you know, she kills him while they're having their sex game. Mm-hmm. That's the movie. Hmm. It's a weird movie.
Yep, it sure is.
It is both aggressively a movie version of a play and the most indie of all indie movies that could ever have indied.
Yeah, 97 has these people in it, and I was like, how have I never even like seen the cover of this at a Blockbuster? But once we get into money and the how indie it actually was, I guess this kind of makes sense. I don't think this movie really exists per se. But woofers.
I think it was one of those movies that like it's because it has Parker Posey when she was like at the height of Parker Posey is the queen of the indies.
She's currently at the height of... She's been riding the height for 40 years.
I just mean, like, this was when, like, everybody was buzzing about when is Parker Posey going to be in, like, a... When's her big mainstream movie
going to
be?
She was just in Beau is Afraid, so...
Yeah.
more of that crazy shit. House of Yes is a performance fueled nightclub in Brooklyn, New York. When I saw that,
Which, I mean, this movie fits.
the sex game performance with the loaded gun, if nothing else, would be a kind of a cool drag performance, maybe. Like a two person drag performance,
especially given the way we like things. If you were at a drag show and you had just seen this movie, or had seen this movie ever and saw that, and you were the only person in the crowd that was like, oh my god, I know what they're doing, that's exciting. That's really exciting.
It was like the one time I went to one a few years ago, and all of the performances basically were to songs that were current, and it was like, I can appreciate that there's very skillful, but I don't know any of these songs. And then someone did a weird novelty song about hot dogs, and I knew that song, and I was clearly the only person who knew the hot dog song.
You can see they like all the other things, and I'm the only one that likes this, and like, oh, why don't they make drag shows for me?
I mean, they do. It's called scary drag. That's what we would be into.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. I'm gonna Google that. Is a thing. That sounds fucking
awesome. You especially would be very into it.
For sure.
So like, I've seen this movie more than once because I'm a big Parker Posey fan, and it's very short. You know, it is. It exists. Everyone has their monologue.
All of the dialogue generally is set up like a play where everyone is performing the whole time, even though there's like three people in most of the scenes, and you're like, it's very over the top.
I don't have a whole lot to say about it. You know who directed it?
No.
Mark Waters, the guy who directed Mean Girls and the really good Lindsay Lohan, Jamie Lee Curtis Freaky Friday.
Oh, that's right.
And that terrible movie from a few years ago, Vampire Academy. He's a director whose career has been diminishing returns, certainly. Yeah. But I think this was his like big first real movie. Actually, this is his first movie at all.
When you said Mark Waters, I was about to go into a Mark Waters. John Waters is very long lost son.
That's I was kind of thinking that too, honestly. Yeah.
My dad has people he poop in his movies, but I don't do that kind of thing.
You know, I'm looking at Mark Waters' IMDb, and I have seen most of his movies, it turns out.
He's from South Bend. Gross.
A lot of them are bad.
It is a real journeyman kind of career, from what I can recall.
Bad Santa 2? Yeesh.
Yeah, but not Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Man, it sucks to be the guy who gets brought in on the sequel. The first one made good money. We know this is going to be garbage, but we're going to make it anyway.
Imagine being the guy who made the first one and then being like, we're replacing you.
Like, you mean on my Santa fart joke movie? Really? I can't just make another one?
Drunk Santa is mean to a kid is what I remember Bad Santa being.
Yeah, and Lauren Graham is there.
That's true.
Oh, sure.
Also, freaking Bernie Mac and John Ritter.
Oh, yeah.
Double rip.
Stacked. Yeah. Pretty stacked.
That sounds not that pleasant of a watch, so.
No, it was kind of goofy. I have some notes. It took me a while to realize Rachel Lee Cook is intended to be the young Parker Posey. For a bit, I was a little confused, thinking there were two characters that both think they're Jackie O. Because again, I think
like a shared delusion, that
psychosis
they, like,
kind of thing.
Picked up in a hospital or something.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly, like the Rachel Lee Cook scenes are very, very this is dreamy flashbacky.
They do a filter kind of thing.
Yeah, so they put Vaseline all over the lens and just pretty much
sort of. Yeah,
yeah.
But I just she's the only one that got flashbacks, despite all of the familial characters having weird sort of backstories.
Josh's character is in the flashbacks too. She's just less noticeable. Yeah.
And also, I guess in my mind, I thought Rachel Lee Cook and Parker Posey were the same age, but in real life, they're not at all the same age. Parker Posey has just aged very gracefully, I think.
Well, and just think about it. It's like, if you're doing a flashback and there's a handful of people on the screen, are you going to remember the guy wearing normal pants and a shirt, or the person dressed like Jackie O?
Right. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Plus, it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, also that. That's very true. Yeah. Second note, Parker's really putting in the work here, giving 500% on everything. I think her performance is exquisite. Like, I mean, she's doing her normal thing, and it's extremely good, and it's, yeah. It's just not a very good movie.
Like, you know, she's great as always. That's, yeah, exactly. Like, it's hard to... Mm-hmm. It's hard to fault Parker Posey for swinging for the fences.
No, she did the job. She showed up, yeah. Currently, as of 2 months ago, now in the running for the wildest single line in a movie ever. Quote,
oh.
Jackie's hand was holding Marty's penis when they came out of the womb.
Oh, yeah. Mom does say that.
Yeah, it goes that far back. Also... That one's a little upsetting. This one is maybe the funniest line I've heard in a recent movie. How did you pull yourself out of poverty? Other person. I left Pennsylvania. First person. Well, that was clearly a step in the right direction. Do they even have paintings in Pennsylvania? Which is very, very, very good.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a movie that, like, you think you're going to like. Mm.
The premise is so
wild.
Is the way
I would describe it.
Yeah, that you go like, well, that if they put this movie out with that premise, it has to have some redeeming qualities, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet I know I keep going back to this. I bet it was a hit play. I bet it was a sensation.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Also, one of those plays, like when I saw Book of Mormon, and there were clearly older... season subscribers that didn't look up what Book of Mormon was before they showed up at Book of Mormon, who then were very upset walking out at intermission. Like, if you didn't read the blurb for this one and you bought tickets to the play, I bet it would have been a bit surprising.
Oh, Allison Janney played the mom in the off-Broadway version of this.
Ooh, wow, love that.
I could see her playing that character.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
Reception, yeah. Funny, grotesque, impudent, chilling with a streak of satire, favorably. People seem to like it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not much came of the movie, I think.
Was like, pretty familiar stuff, huh? Except deftly executed, noting that the plot was so predetermined that it lacks urgency and menace. That's the play anyway, so I mean
okay,
yeah. When it, so like the, what Ebert's review was I was not bored. I think he was generally like mixed positive on it, but the end of his review was just I was not bored.
All right,
well. Also apparently this movie was totally financed by Aaron Spelling and caught a lot of flack about that.
That
well, I think I even wrote the Tori Spelling the nepoist of babies line before I found that out, but yeah. Like here we are, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, it cost $1.5 million, which is not a ton, but yeah, 100% by Aaron Spelling, and the money made. I got a very weirdly specific figure of $626,000.
Actually, it's actually $626,057.
Oh, even more decimal points.
Unless it just made $57 since in the last 2 months, which maybe it did.
Oh.
That's possible. My assumption is that is the money it made at like whatever festival it played at,
it got released
in New York and LA and maybe a few other spots. And like, yeah, I mean, I've gone to see movies that have small enough box offices that my ticket price could actually be represented in like a reasonable decimal point, like.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like all jacked up and full of worms or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Eternal Daughter. Yeah. That one was.
You were probably 1/12 to 1/16 of that entire grossing.
Like, you know, that's indie movies. They sometimes they hit and sometimes they lose $600,000 and it seems like a lot because it's like, oh, it didn't even make half its budget back. It's like, well. Yeah. They lost like less than a write-off.
Right. If the whole scale is small, it's fine. And yeah, sometimes that money is entirely Aaron Spelling's money, in which case,
Like, who gives a shit? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is that old thing that, I feel like what Matt Damon talked about this in a couple interviews at one point. It's like the Hollywood system used to be set up in a way where the expensive movies were cheap enough that when they turned a profit, it was enough of a profit to justify spending under $10 million on an indie movie,
right,
even if they didn't expect it to make the money back.
Like, it was more socialist, where the losses were expected and covered by the wins, and now everything has to stand on its own merit, and it's not a great system, essentially. Yeah.
Right, when you spend $300 million on Ant-Man 3.
Yeah, and then you can't get fucking tiny, really good movies made for like $10 million, because they're like, well, it's not going to make its own money. It's like, well, see the fucking forest for the trees, guy. Like,
And like, market it?
Yeah. Or stand behind it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sigh.
Two trivia.
Not the Korean pop star.
By the way, The Ant-Man 3 budget was $275 million.
Yeah. Oh, I think it made like $500 million. It made money.
$476 million. Yeah. It looks like it made.
Yeah, yeah. So it doubled its,
It's
infuriating.
It's a horseshit of a movie.
So. Oh, it is nigh unwatchable.
Less than nothing. Yeah. Wow, Bill Pope was the cinematographer? He's the guy who filmed The Matrix.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We just saw The Marvels. Gotta work. Directed by Nia DaCosta, whom I love, and I believe she has very publicly said, like, I thought, you know, I'm like early in my career, and I thought it was going to be a fun experience, and like, who would turn down, you know, $200 million or whatever. And then she was like, I fundamentally hated my existence for the entirety of that production.
Yeah.
Like, it was horrendous, and I would never do it, even if they gave me $400 next time.
I heard that she, like, they just full-on took the movie away from her, like, at a rate. They just had a stop date, and it's like, okay, well, we're just going to finish it. And she's like, what do you mean you're just going to finish it? And, and they're like, we're just going to finish it. This was our plan the whole time. Like, if you were done, that would have been great, but, like, you know, whatever.
Jesus.
I also heard her giving an interview where she was supposed to be promoting the Marvels, and instead she was like, when they kicked me off the set, for whatever reason they did that, I went to London, and let me talk about the movie I've been making since then. And she's like doing an Ibsen adaptation. So,
huh? Oh, fun. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking wild shit. So yeah, this movie is based on allegedly The Fall of the House of Usher by Poe. Which they just had an entire TV show about that, and so I'm fairly familiar with that source material. I don't think it's
Zach? Did you know there's no way you could get over 8 hours out of that story. That story is about 20 pages long.
Oh, I know. They embellished a lot. The show was fine.
They added it, they just did an adaptation of Poe. And they called it The Fall of the House of Usher. Okay. They just added things from every Poe. That's all they did.
Yeah.
Also, I watched the first episode of that, and I fucking hated it.
If we could be done with Poe and Lovecraft adaptations for the next 500 years, I think I'd be...
There's better people who moved on from Lovecraft. There's a lot of better ones. If you still want cosmic horror. Like, there's lots of good cosmic horror out there.
Yes.
So. Or there's people doing... their own takes on Lovecraft that are much
that,
more
interesting. Exactly, that's what I mean.
I see. Uh-huh. I see what you're saying.
Second trivia was Parker Posey actually has a twin brother.
Which is, I did see that, surprising. Yeah, I did not know that before. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's kind of all I got.
This is what I was afraid of with this movie. Like, it's not just because we watched it so long ago. It's just like there's only so much to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
getting back to like John Waters, only because he came up, it's kind of like that. It's like the John Waters viewing experience is aggressive, and there's like so much weird going on with those. But you can boil the whole thing down to just like, I don't know. It's the thing you think it is. Like, it's not really all that interesting at the end of the day. Like,
I'm not a huge John Waters fan by any means, but like, especially early in his career, I think there's a lot more to talk about because he's like actively working against specific genres.
Yeah,
sure. And he's like, here's what this genre, the stories you're trying to tell, these are the actual kind of people who would be involved in these stories.
Right.
And like, why not make it some heightened exploration of what's going on there? And like, which itself is that's interesting, but also I don't really like watching his movies.
Same. I like the thought of them, and I like him as a person a lot, but the movies themselves,
he's
just
a
like
great media personality.
He really is.
For certain. Also, I've read I read a little interview with him where he talked at great length, here's a potential spoiler for maybe next year's Halloween episode, about how incredible the DVD for Final Destination 3 is, how amazing all the special features are. So
interesting. Well, as the current owner of a Blu-ray player, well, I think I also might have a Blu-ray player. Are we gonna have to buy Final Destination 3 in physical media?
Well, see, I've been thinking about. I wanted to see if they have a
disc of it.
Oh, then we'd have to. Well, buy I can't. One. That's play that, way more expensive. Yeah.
I've been thinking. I assume there's got to be like a box set of the Final Destination.
Oh, without
I looked
a doubt.
It up and
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they don't. There's not a 4K out yet, but there is plans on making a 4K box set.
Really? Really?
Well, and I think they're gonna release it in tandem with the new movie that's in production or pre-production right now. And like, on the one hand, cool. I want that. But on the other hand, I don't then want a box set that's missing one of the movies.
I hope one of my favorite characters comes back. I don't know. I don't remember any of them. They're kind of interchangeable.
Nobody terribly memorable.
I assumed you were going to
Allie Larder is there, I think.
Yeah, she dies in the second one.
No, pretty, she didn't. She's in 7 or whatever this is.
This would be 6.
7. I thought 7 7 Destination.
You know, they mention that Devon Sawa died in the second one, but we never actually see him die.
Oh, you know, he's been creeping back up into things.
He's
having a quasi Devonasance.
He's having a Sawasance.
Okay.
That's a better one.
Did we release that? We recorded that. Did we release
we
that?
We did not record it. We talked about recording it. We talked about recording it because we watched all the movies. Yeah. Each of us had watched all the movies and like, why don't we record it now?
Yeah.
So we'll have it ready for next year. And then we just didn't.
It sounds like something.
I think I have notes, but shit, that means I'm gonna have to watch all those again next year.
Oh yeah.
I'm not going to.
I have to watch these movies that I thought most of were pretty good and actively loved at least two of them.
No, that's true.
Like,
and there's also only 5. Like compared to the other Halloween ones I've done, good god damn.
Also, having rewatched Blowout recently, I have many more thoughts about Final Destination 3 than I did previously. So
why would a movie about hairdressing starring Josh Hartnett?
That's blow dry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
why would a movie starring John Travolta and a whale? Maybe.
Well, that's just your version.
It would be pretty fun if somebody got smashed under a whale that was being like transported. Like if a Final Destination took place
at SeaWorld, Jaws 3.
I was thinking outside of the Monterey Bay Institute.
The Cetacean Institute.
From Star Trek 4, it's the Cetacean Institute, but it's actually the Monterey Bay Aquarium. But that's
Or like in Free Willy, when the whale jumps over the kid and they play Michael Jackson.
It seems like the whale have to have malicious intent there,
though. I was gonna say the whale makes it clean over him, like he doesn't flop and aren't like orcas
the kid
like
puts his hand up and.
Wouldn't the whale have jumped in a way that the kid would have gotten caught directly at his mouth and then drowned? Like that's
that
more
been fun.
In line with assumed. What I understand orcas
or like,
to be.
Or like
yeah.
slapping it with its tail as it goes over.
Oh,
just
just really concussing the fuck out of him.
Yeah, and then he lands in the water
and drowns.
And then you rip him up.
Or you drag him to the bottom of the tank and then let him breathe for a little bit, and then they're sadistic creatures.
Because they really are. Like dolphins.
You know,
dolphins
there's,
do that sort of shit, so.
There's several Free Willy movies. This could be an episode.
Oh,
just the Free Willy universe.
I like that so much less than watching 14 Hellraisers.
The cinematic universe.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Okay, so you mentioned Blu-ray. Freaking Arrow is putting out both. They're putting out a Hellraiser 4K restoration at the end of the month, which I'm definitely going to buy.
Sure.
They're also putting out a Hellraiser Tetralogy, the first four movies box set in 4K, which I didn't realize the first four movies needed to be grouped together.
Well,
you never told me that fucking Adam Scott was in the fourth movie.
Adam Scott of Party Down, Adam Scott?
Yeah.
Really?
Huh.
Well, if he is, he must have been very young and I didn't recognize him.
Is that
him,
the one where there's like a CD-themed one?
No, it's the second one.
Oh, yeah, it's two.
That's confusing.
So I think it's only the first four because that's when it went off the rails and they got, I think the rights got sold to some like essentially like patent squatter or something. And I think they disavowed those middle ones.
I see. But also, but three and four, they're all on board for.
Well, yeah, they weren't good per se, but 4K restoration of a movie that I guess looked pretty good, but like is still, I don't know, 45 years old at this point.
I think. How does that actually work? Seth, you were right. The CD one is in the fourth movie.
Oh, thank the gods. I couldn't imagine them getting, like, you had to get at least through three before you put a monster made of CDs.
Yeah.
CD is a mute blind Cenobite who makes electronic noises whenever he moves.
Yeah. That feels like a we're out of ideas kind of.
Yeah.
He used to be a DJ.
Well, or that great paper cut one that was my favorite.
The one where the Cenobite where you have you put a little bit of hand sanitizer on and you have paper cuts and
just go.
That's the one. That's my favorite of them. By far.
Yep. It's really good.
You will experience.
Now, Lee, again, I have to ask, in a technical sense, you have some of these 4K restorations of older movies. Do they actually look good? Like, how does the actual technology hold up when you're taking old film and making it into a modern digital
film? So it really depends on the quality of the original prints and what they do to them. Like, so for instance...
The original Freddy prints?
Senior? Who killed himself, actually, when Freddie Prinze Jr. was like two.
Thanks, Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're welcome. Jesus. So, like, for instance, I have some older movies that are like Technicolor. And the thing about Technicolor film is apparently it doesn't so much degrade as like the syncing of where the colors are supposed to be doesn't. It like gets off by like fractions upon fractions of seconds, so they have to go like frame by frame and remap everything.
Holy shit.
So like the 4K restorations of movies like that, you go and you'll see a side by side and it's like you saw this movie that like looked really beautiful just like in the versions that were played on TV for years or at old movie theaters, and then like you actually see the 4K restoration that looks probably closer to what it looked like when it was first released. And it's like these things in the edges of the frame that you couldn't see are now clear, and like the colors are more vibrant and things like that. Right. So
I wonder why
stuff like that, it's really interesting. I think 4K is great for anything on film because they can clean up what's there.
Well, you get there's no pixels. You get the literal original individual, like there's no lossiness to the whole process. Yeah. I mean, there is when you convert it to 4K, but not in the original film stuff. Yeah,
and, like, I can't speak to, like, Blowout. I was just talking about Blowout. That's an 80s movie, and it was relatively cheaply made, and it looks incredible on 4K.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Like, Hellraiser, I think, looks incredible anyway, so I'd be really interested in seeing what it looks
really
like.
It really does. Yeah.
No, I'm on the Free Willy Wikipedia, and I'm trying to get to the sequels section here while we're talking, you know.
I mean, it's a Disney joint, right? So there's gotta be
four.
I would have guessed like six or seven. Okay.
There's Free Willy, there's Free Willy 2, The Adventure Home, there's Free Willy 3, The Rescue.
So anyway, next week on Faking Movies, we're doing a movie.
Pirates Cove, you say.
Finally we can do this to Seth.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Like, I genuinely had no problem watching fucking 46 hours of Scream content, but 8 hours of Free Willy sounds like I'd rather die.
Holy shit. It stars Bo Bridges and Bindi Irwin.
Jesus.
Whoa. I mean, she's only like, what, 19 now?
Something like that.
Was this like a very recent thing?
This is from 2010.
Oh my. She would have been a baby. Well, I don't know how time
and
works.
She's 25 now. She's like 12.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no kidding.
So is Devin Sawa or whatever.
No, he's older than shit now.
Well, he was like 12 when he was in Wild America.
Right.
With,
I see him in stuff now, and I have to like make sure it's him.
So
he does play alive Casper.
Yeah.
Did he ever have like horrific drug problems or anything? I feel like he just kind of faded. He didn't have any, like, genuine troubles, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't want to find out because I feel like it would make me very sad.
Same. Uh-huh. Yeah. You don't want him to be a Greg Goldberg kind of tale.
But on the other hand, it'll annoy Seth because we'll be stuck on this record longer.
That's
if
true.
I look it up right now.
If we do filibuster this, legally he can't leave, I think, is how that works.
Yeah, because we didn't get the filibuster reform passed through in the last episode of Faking Movies.
It's true.
I tried to filibuster it.
I know. In real life, I'm opposed, but in fake life, I'm very pro.
He sought in a lengthy interview. He said that he sought out roles in which his character would smoke marijuana to help get away from his teen heartthrob status.
He said that
between 2004 and 2009 he drank a lot, and then he went sober. He's been more or less sober since then.
Wow,
it sounds like he maybe had some issues, but nothing that derailed his life. And good for him.
That's good.
It's good to know.
Is good to know.
Like
Seth is rocking back and forth like in pain.
I think we've succeeded. Okay. This movie on IMDb has a...
Oh, shit. Really? We didn't do that yet?
We should. No!
Fucking didn't.
Man, I gotta say, we started this record a little flat because I think we all did forget how to do this thing. But I think
the middle where we talked about the movie was flat. That's
it was a little
flat.
But I think we are fucking back, boys.
No.
Well, I know Lee thinks we're back and is on my side.
I'm having fun now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 8,700 votes. So. 8,000 votes.
Why are you counting like Lee does?
I don't know. Nearly 9,000 votes. It is a 6.5, which seems a little high, but
indie movie with big stars or relatively big stars. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Lee?
Yo, real movie is fine. There's good things about it, mostly boring. It's more weird than good, I would say. 4.9.
Okay. Pretty middling.
It's short. It's nice that it's short.
That's not a rousing endorsement, I gotta say.
It's not, but it's like...
And yet.
when I say that, it's like a movie that I'm not super into, but it's short. I'm gonna be less... I'm gonna have rosier... Mm-hmm. Feelings.
I just did this later with Anatomy of a Fall. I was thinking like, I don't know, hour 45. I hit play and it was 2.5 hours long, and I was like, motherfuck. I just cannot with that. Yeah.
Well, and I saw Zone of Interest last weekend, which is excellent, but completely soul crushing.
A tough
one.
Yeah.
Avi.
Yeah.
100 minutes.
Oh,
so mercifully,
good.
You know.
You have to know that. This is a movie that's about Nazis and not hypercritical. We should make this short, I think.
Oh, it is hypercritical.
Oh, okay. I thought it was about like their life and trying to humanize them in some way.
No. Oh, okay. It shows their life in like here's their everyday life, and it's the creeping in of the reality that that is critical. Of
I see.
Like,
well,
it's like, look at
good.
Look at these monsters while this is happening.
I see. Okay.
That they caused.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Especially since it's literally about the guy who was the head of and
architect
of all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Seth's movie is very different from all those things we just talked about. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to go, I really much preferred the, once it got into the fun, goofiness in the second half.
Yeah.
Not to say that I wouldn't enjoy the creepiness of the first half, depending on how well it played out. Let's go 7.9.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Take it.
OG. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The premise is so bizarre that I guess the movie didn't quite land for me, but I can't like give it notes that would be constructive. That would like, I don't know what my perfect version of this movie would be because it's just kind of weird.
So how do you make a more straightforward version of a story that's strange?
Yeah, exactly.
Inherently,
Yeah, it was definitely less bad than a lot of the movies we watch. So yeah, I'd go like 5. I think even 5 for me. Seth, I fully agree. In our canon of new archetypes that cover 100% of all stories. You hit all five.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to go rewatch again Cabin in the Woods and 13 Ghosts, a movie I've seen within the last 6 months, both movies. And I'm going to watch both of those again. Yeah, it was really fun. I do like a shift too. Oh, I was thinking, Lee, while you were talking, Barbarian is a movie.
Yeah, that has this, I was thinking like, about bizarro Barbarian tonal too. Shift. Yeah,
it does. Yeah. And you know what though, with Barbarian is, I much preferred the first half.
See, I've heard
pre-shift
mostly that, I think, because it's more spooky, like Seth's movie, where you get the spookies up front and then it gets kind of wacky towards the end. And,
only because Justin Long is like there intentionally being comedy, but like. Yeah. Also kind of a shitty guy, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I will say that movie was one of those movies where I think the as a society, everyone who saw it agreed in their hearts, I don't want to spoil this for people.
Somehow,
everybody went, and it's like, hey, don't look up Barbarian before you go see it.
It was the sixth sense all over again.
It was fun. Yeah, that movie doesn't get talked about much after the fact, but it was easily a huge sensation,
like very briefly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I would say best horror movie of last year, hands down. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think.
Was it a 2023 movie? Really?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Came out in like the summer, I think.
Yeah.
I thought it was the year before. Yeah. Anyway.
Time is meaningless.
That's true.
Seth, I really liked your thing.
Summer 22.
So it was 2 years ago. Huh.
Wow, time is meaningless, turns out.
Yeah, it turns out.
Loved it. Especially, I was also thinking in terms of 13 Ghosts. and also the cast that was already in this movie. If you slap a Matt Lillard in here instead of Hamilton, god damn, we are just straight to the moon. Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Parker Posey, Matt Lillard,
can you Rachel imagine? Lee Cook,
and Freddie Prinze. You're basically just recasting the female roles in Scooby-Doo. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm gonna go 8.7. Yeah,
really good.
Love it.
I'll take it.
Very cool. Hey Zach, really quick, are you aware that there's a SLC Punk direct-to-video sequel called Punk is Dead?
Yep, it came out.
And Devin Saw was in it.
Yeah, it came out like 20 years after SLC Punk, I think. I don't know that I've seen it. I may have seen it. I don't know. Yeah. SLC Punk is a movie that I should live and breathe. It came out when I was trying to be a 10-year-old punk rock kid.
Mm-hmm.
It has Matt Lillard, my literal famous actor or most favorite actor of all time. And that movie is challenging. Yes, I do not like it as much as it should be liked.
Here's another something for you. Devin Sawa is apparently in an episode of NCIS Los Angeles called The Bank Job.
Season?
It's from 2010. I don't know what season.
Ooh, okay. I don't know when this whole thing kicked off. I may have seen it already. I'll have to check.
Okay. Yeah. Get back to us with that one.
I will. I definitely will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next week, Lee's going to be doing a movie Seth and I are pretty jizzed up about called The Guyver.
The Guyver.
Yeah.
The Guyver.
The Guyver. Uh-huh. Well, G-U-Y-V-E-R. The Guyver.
It's like the dollar store MacGyver.
Yeah.
It might be. Yeah.
Well, it's like that's the naming convention. It's just a little bit wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can legally distinct.
It could be a dollar store version of The Giver, too.
It could.
That's also true.
Maybe both.
So
same
what if MacGyver was in The Giver and he created like some sort of fucking cellophane lens so people could see colors?
Huh.
Out of cellophane and rubber bands. That was his thing, right? Rubber bands. He always had rubber bands.
Chewing gum.
They're called gum bands in New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Fun. I don't think I've seen an episode of MacGyver since I was
a child. They call ketchup tomato sauce.
I know.
That's fucking stupid.
That's a That's a collision. We already have a thing called tomato sauce.
Yeah, but also, what are they called, tomato sauce? If you really want to be fair about it, ketchup doesn't mean tomato ketchup in almost everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the banana. You got the
ketchup
other
is
ones.
A type of is a type is of a sauce. Genre. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the there's like a colonial recipe for mushroom ketchup, which mm-hmm. is just sauce. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a scene in my favorite Christmas adjacent movie, Meet Me in St. Louis, ooh. Where the household, the like maid is cooking dinner and she's like, I made up a pot of ketchup, and everybody comes in the kitchen tasting it like with a giant spoon. Ugh. And it's like, why would you do that? Mm-mm. That's disgusting. Mm-mm. You're eating it like soup. What's wrong with you?
Hey,
fucking
I made up a fresh vat of mayonnaise. Well, y'all come down, take
just
a spoon,
full stick, fist
put your whole exactly closed fist into the jar and then lick it clean.
Oh, mouth. It's not a jar, it's
get all the
vat.
Get all the creases between your between your knuckles. Yeah.
So oily. I use it as a moisturizer.
I mean, I make the Seth TM aioli all the time. Yeah. But yeah, I do not taste it in quantity. I usually give a little smidge of a finger, knowing what goes into it, and go, yeah, that'll do.
That's enough raw garlic oil and egg.
Yeah. You know, for as much as I love an egg yolk, you think I'd be into aioli and mayo, and it just it repulses me.
I've come around to aioli. I still can't really handle much mayonnaise.
Oh, you don't need a lot, but man, it is 8,000 times better than any mayonnaise product.
Do you think this is something we could pitch? Michael Impure Aioli? Do you think we could get him on board?
He's not working a lot these days, probably.
What is the goal? What?
Like
Seth, stop asking the hard questions. We don't need
it's Michael Imperioli's aioli brand.
You
we get him
call
to
it
sign
Michael
off
Imperioli's
on it and
sauce or something.
Michael Imperioli. We had this argument about Star Trek when I was visiting you, and I cannot have this argument.
Yeah, I am not comfortable calling mayonnaise a sauce. That is beyond the pale.
Oh, this is friend of the show, Kev, talking about dips and spreads all over.
Oh, we
again.
Cannot fucking get into that.
That's
yeah,
not
he has a very, very different opinion on sauce than humanity does, I think. Oh. Yeah.
He calls tomato sauce gravy.
No, I know. Man. He's a heathen. It's true.
Wait, why would you call ketchup gravy?
Hey. Oh, he's seething in anger driving to work right now.
He's going to yell at some kids for sure.
Yes, he really is. Oh, boy,
okay, how do you end these?
I forget. Does somebody fart?
Oh, man. I don't got one in the chamber. Sorry, fellas.
Goodbye?